Amen. All right, good to be back here once again, isn't it? Good. I got some alive people out in the congregation. That's a blessing. So Blonde calls her husband and says, please come over here and help me. I've got a killer jigsaw puzzle and I can't figure out how to get it started. Her husband asks, what's it supposed to be when it's finished? The blonde says, according to the picture on the box, it's a tiger. So he decides to go over and go down and help her with the puzzle. She lets him in and shows him where she has the puzzle spread all over the table, and he studies the pieces for a moment and then looks at the box and turns at her and says, first of all, no matter what we're not going to be able to assemble all these pieces into anything resembling a tiger. He takes her hand. And second, I want you to relax. Let's have a nice cup of tea. And then he sighed, let's put all the frosted flakes back into the box. Sorry. I like laughing. I think I've told you my motto before, right? If you can't laugh at somebody else, who can you laugh at? Just kidding. All right, open your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19 will start in verse 1. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put it on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate, therefore, went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought us to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Wherefore Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath committed the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come back to the Bible once again and read the passage where a lot of men turned their back on you, and Father, where ultimately you were turned over to be crucified. And I just pray, Lord, that you would open the hearts and the minds of the folks here in the congregation. I pray that you would put me aside and let the Word of God speak to people's hearts. And just to remind us, Father, what a great King you really are. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here we have, obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ before Pilate. And he's already been betrayed by Judas. He's already been denied three times by Peter. And Pilate then pops up and says, I find no fault at all. I find in him no fault at all. But the people that are there are about to witness the greatest event in history, and they're about to take the God of the universe and turn him over to a bunch of ruthless men to be crucified, and he's about ready to pay the price for your sin and for my sin on the tree. And they miss it. There's a spiritual battle being waged there that is probably one of the greatest fights to ever take place. And yet the people all around are sitting there looking at this man as if he's just a common criminal, a common man nobody special, nobody out of the ordinary, just somebody who is trying to get a little bit too much attention to himself. Yeah, maybe he went about doing a few good things, but the truth of the matter is, we'd be a lot better off with him if he just wouldn't bother us. If he'd just stay out of our lives and just not try to convert us too. And they missed the fact that their very eternity lies in the balance. They lie in the balance. I'd like you to just take a little bit of time this morning and just look at the decision that these people faced. It's a very simple decision, and I'd like you to ask yourself kind of the same question that that they really needed to answer. And that basically is in John chapter 19. Look at verse 14 and 15. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. And that phrase has always stuck with me because, brethren, a lot of our lives revolves around who you and I decide to let become our king. A lot of our life and a lot of where you wind up in life and a lot of the things that you have to face in life and a lot of the turmoils and a lot of the problems and what problems you're going to face are simply going to be revolved around that single question, and that is, who is the king in your life? Who is the king in your life? You see, you get to choose your king. But when you make a choice, along with it comes a whole another set of obstacles and problems. And the king you choose is going to determine which obstacles and which problems you have. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God of heaven. The devil is the god of this world. And for you and I, there are only those two kings to choose from. And who is your king? Who is your king? The Lord Jesus Christ or the devil? During our struggle for independence, the King of England at the time was King George III. King George III. He ruled from about 1760 till technically about 1820. He is the one that actually bought the Queen a house, and it became known, you know, for what you and I know now as Buckingham Palace. But he was known for two main things. Two main things. He was known as the king who lost the Americas, and he was known as the Mad King. The Mad King. You see, George III had four mysterious bouts of madness during his reign. He had one in 1788, one in 1801, and one in 1804, and then again in 1810. In 1788, he actually attacked his son. He was having trouble with his with his eldest son, the Prince of Wales. And on November 5th, 1788, the king attacked his son, and he tried to smash his head against the wall. One observer claimed that foam was coming out of the king's mouth, and his eyes were so bloodshot that they looked like jelly. He was placed in a straitjacket, and eventually his doctors had a special iron chair made to restrain him. Other treatments they used, they tried, bloodletting and, putting mustard on his skin to boil out the devils and all those sort of things. But he was known as the Mad King. He was known as the Mad King. Have you ever had to face the wrath of a wicked king? You ever had to face the wrath of a wicked king? I tell you what, that is, in essence, what the devil is. I mean, the devil has nothing good for you and I. You know, he may allow some things to go on in your life that you think are a little pleasant for a moment, but then he'll go back into one of his bouts of madness, and you'll wind up paying the price. A couple of King George's bouts were brief and lasted only a month or two, but one of those particular attacks lasted for over 18 months. The king of England, King George III, was out of his mind and ruling a country technically for over 18 months. Brethren, sometimes life will throw some trials at you that come from a wicked king. The devil will throw some things in there, especially if you choose to make the devil your king. In 1811, it was acknowledged that he was violently insane. Yeah, it was about time. And the doctors, they continued to hope for recovery, but the Parliament actually enacted the Regency and the Prince of Wales and decreed that the Queen should have custody of her husband, and basically his son took over until his death January 29th of 1820. If you remember your history a little bit, it was under this King George that the Stamp Act was instituted. The Stamp Act was passed by a British Parliament on March 22nd, 1765, and basically it was a new tax imposed on all the Americas, on all the colonists over here, and required them to pay a tax on every piece of printed paper that they used. So ships, papers, legal documents, licenses, newspapers, any other publications, even playing cards were taxed. The Stamp Act. And folks kind of got a little upset about that. And then around 1767, they started with the Townshend Act, which was a whole new series of taxes on things like sugar and glass and molasses. Basically, England had come out of the Seven-Year War. They were deeply in debt. They didn't have enough, the king didn't have enough money to really run his government. And he needed to raise revenue because of all the money that was spent. And so he started taxing things on the Americas. And the American colonists over here, again, were oppressed. And they got to looking at this tax act. And not only did they not like the tax, but they realized at the time that, wait a minute, this is not only a huge inconvenience and a hindrance to commerce, but you know what? This is not according to the British, their version of the Constitution. It said in there, according to the British Constitution, the British subjects could not be taxed without consent of their representatives in Parliament. And they got the whole thing rolling. And then on December 16th, 1773, there was the tea tax. And that ultimately led, and we can thank Jeremy. Where's he at? We can thank Jeremy. That ultimately led to the Boston Tea Party. The Boston Tea Party. officials in Boston decided that enough was enough, and a bunch of colonists got out there in those ships, and they took that tea and threw it overboard into Boston Harbor. And when we went out to see Renee and when she was going to college out in Boston, that was one of the things I wanted to see. Where did they throw the tea in the harbor? I'm kind of surprised that King George didn't try to pass health care. The way he was going, but I digress. But our forefathers were under this king, and they were faced with a decision. They were faced with staying under King George, staying under for all practical purposes, and in fact, was a mad king who really did not have their best interests at heart, who was really only out to bleed them dry for everything that he could get out of them and use them as basically servants and just, as pawns in his big game, and basically really had no intention of taking care of them very much at all. I mean, ultimately, those colonists were nothing more than they were a source of revenue. They were a way he could get what he wanted to get. And you know, brethren, that's the way the devil looks at you. Especially if you're sitting here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what you are to the devil? Nothing more than just a subject that maybe he can use to mess up and destroy somebody else's life. The devil looks at you as nothing more than something that he can use in order to destroy your own life. There is no loyalty there. There's no love for you there. There's no tender mercies. There's no responsibility. There's no desire to see to it that you have a happy life. There's no desire to see to it that you're taken care of. There's just simply the fact that you're there and he can use you in whatever twisted plan that he may have for mankind. And brethren, if you're sitting here, this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you're sitting here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is your King. That is your King. And, you and I know the colonists went through an awful lot of struggle and a lot of debate as to what they should do about being under this tyrant of a king. Ultimately, the revolution happened, and here we are in the United States of America. You know, some 200 and how many years later? 35 years later? Something like that. But brethren, they were sitting there in that position, and they had to decide, who's going to be my king? Who's going to be my king? Now, the Jews back here in John, you know what they chose? They chose to keep Caesar. The Jews turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ while he was in his hour of trial, while he was getting ready to be hung on the cross. They turned their back on him and they said, crucify him, crucify him. You know what they said? They said, I ain't got time for religion. I don't have time to follow this God. I've got life. I've got better things to do in life than follow this Jesus guy around the country. And you know, it's a real shame. It's a real shame. But a lot of people in our town, in our city, that you work with, that you go to school with, feel the same way. I got a guy that I work with. He's a great guy. I really enjoy him. Smart guy. Just despises anything to do with Christianity. Voted for Obama. Despises anything to do with Christianity. I don't understand that mentality. I really don't. I don't understand the mentality. I don't understand why somebody would choose a stark raving mad lunatic of a king that they have to, you know, put in a straitjacket that tries to kill, you know, in this case, King George tried to kill his own son. I don't understand why anybody would want to follow that type of a king. But when you turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ for any reason, that's in essence what you're doing. That is in essence what you're doing. The Lord Jesus Christ was God incarnate, God in the flesh. And He came down here and suffered at the hands of wicked men and died on that cross so that you and I could have freedom from the old king. So that you and I could have freedom from the old king. And if you've never been born again spiritually this morning, you're under the old king. Spiritually, you think King George is bad, the devil's worse. The devil's a lot more deceptive. And you got a choice to make. You got a choice. Israel said, we have no king but Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. And I'd like to ask you, which king are you going to follow? Which king are you going to choose? Turn, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. And in 1 Kings chapter 1, we have another situation here where we see somebody trying to raise up as king. In 1 Kings chapter 1, King David has been king for many, many years. And he's old now. And getting ready to turn the throne over to his son. And the throne should be going to Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 1, let's take a look down in verse 5. And the throne should be going to Solomon, but there's somebody else who decides he wants to take over the kingdom. And that is his other son named Adonijah. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 5, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zariah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men which belongeth to David were not with Adonijah. You see, back there in 1 Kings chapter 1, David was old and basically bedridden, about ready to die. And Solomon was supposed to be the one that took over the kingdom. Just like Jesus Christ is supposed to be the one that took over this earth. But up arose another aspiring young man, Adonijah, and decided he was going to take over. He decided he was going to take over. And you know what he did is he got a bunch of people to follow him and deck him out like he was the king. And rode down the road and acted as if he was a king, had this party going. Behold, we have a new king, we have a new king, we have a new king. And you know what? There were a lot of folks that were stuck in the middle of that whole thing during that time frame. And there were a lot of people that looked at that thing going on, and for a while, they weren't sure which king they were supposed to follow. Because while you have two kings to choose from, the Lord Jesus Christ or the devil, there's one king that appeared to be in control for a while back there in 1 Kings. And brethren, that's the position that we're in right now. The devil has anointed himself king. He's become God of this world. And he set things in motion and set everything in motion on this earth so that when you look at things, he appears to be king. David's about to die. Adonijah raises up. And Adonijah had what looked like a real kingdom going on there for a bit. And a lot of people followed him. A lot of people thought he was a king. And brethren, you and I, if you're lost, you're definitely under the wrong king. But a lot of times, brethren, we can be saved. We can be saved and get tricked sometimes by a false king. We're not careful. We got to be vigilant. I mean, sin is so deceptive. Brother, it's so easy to fall into sin. It's so easy to let our guard down for just a little bit, and the sin creeps in, and next thing you know, it's got a hold of us, and we've been following the wrong king. Now, a lot of times we know good and well who we've been following. But sometimes, brethren, sometimes it does sneak up on you. You see, we can't see, if you're lost here this morning, you can't see the Lord Jesus Christ as being king yet. Kind of like at that point in time back in 1 Kings, nobody saw Solomon as king yet. They saw the hoopla that Adonijah put together, and they saw him being paraded around as if he was king. He had the appearance of authority. I mean, he had Joab with him, one of the generals, right? He had Abiathar, one of the priests. On the outside, it looked like he was going to be king. And just like our founding forefathers back in that time frame, they had a choice of whether they wanted to follow that king or not. See, the difference was back there in the colonies, they looked at King George and they decided on their own, no, we're not going to follow this king. And they rebelled. Next thing you know, we have the Revolutionary War. Here we are as our own independent country. It's been a great country for 234 years. It's been a great country. But brethren, they didn't have any assurance that they were going to win. They stepped out by faith. And they decided, we're going to start this rebellion, we're going to start this revolutionary war. And they put everything they had at risk to follow the right king. And in a spiritual sense, brethren, that's what the Lord asks you and I to do. Except the difference is, we have the Bible, and we're guaranteed of which king is going to win. We go to the Bible, we read the Bible, we read what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do. We get a chance to see the playbook of the devil and what he's doing, how he tries to mess up our lives and how he's trying to take over the kingdom. And we're asked to make a choice of which king we're going to follow spiritually. But we know the answer. We know the final outcome. It should make the choice real easy. But brethren, practically, it's a lot harder than what you think. It's real easy to follow the devil. It's real easy to fall into sin. So you'll be a citizen. You'll be a citizen of one of those two kingdoms. A citizen is someone who owes the government their allegiance and is entitled to full civil rights either by birth or naturalization. You remember the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son takes off and wastes his father's wealth and joins himself to a citizen of that other country. The prodigal son was not a citizen of that country. I know a little bit about being a citizen. I don't know. I've probably told you guys before, but my mom and dad were, my father was in the Air Force, stationed over in England when I was born. So I'm a bloke, right? So I was born in England, and my mother and father were over there, and like I said, my dad was stationed over there for a couple years. And when my parents came back to the United States, they were confused about citizenship requirements, and whether I was an actual citizen or not because I had been born in England. And so my mother went through the paperwork of getting me naturalized. So I have naturalization papers, plus both my parents were American citizens. So I'm like a double American citizen. And I've mentioned this before, but I every now and then I wonder about this. Can I run for president or not? I don't want to. I wouldn't want the job if you paid. Not even if you couldn't pay me enough. But I don't even know if I technically can, because you're supposed to be a natural born citizen. But I have naturalization papers, which I don't know if I can or not. But truth of the matter is, you were born a citizen of the devil's kingdom. John chapter 8 says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You're born a citizen of the devil's kingdom. And, you were confirmed or naturalized a citizen of the devil's kingdom when you realized your own sin. When you realized, you got to the point that you realized, wait a minute, I have sinned, and I have sinned against a holy God, and my sins are going to condemn me to a sinner's hell. And if I don't do something about it, I'm going to die and go to hell to pay for my own sins. You know, there comes a point in your life where you got to face that fact, where you got to deal with that fact. And then you're asked at that point in time which king you will serve. Which king you'll serve. You're already a citizen of the devil's kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, bled, had his beard ripped out, crown of thorns put on his forehead, was beaten, whipped, hung there on that tree so that you could have your sins forgiven, taken care of, washed away, cleansed, purified. And you got the devil who doesn't like that prospect. Back in the colonies, during this time frame, obviously King George was getting really annoyed that these colonists were starting to rise up against him. And he didn't like what they were doing. And King George sent out a proclamation. It proclaimed the colonies to be in open rebellion. And I'll just read just a little bit of it, because I thought it was kind of interesting. And the King George sent out this proclamation. And it's, in essence, it's what the devil thinks about you if you're sitting here this morning and have either gotten saved or maybe you're thinking about getting saved. King George had this proclamation written on August 23rd, 1775. "Whereas many of our subjects in diverse parts of our colonies and plantations in North America, misled by dangerous and ill-designing men, and forgetting the allegiance which they owe to the power that has protected and supported them, after various disorderly acts committed in disturbance of the public peace, to the obstruction of lawful commerce, and to the oppression of our loyal subjects carrying on the same, have at length proceeded to open an avowed rebellion, by arraying themselves in a hostile manner to withstand the execution of the law, and traitorously preparing, ordering, and levying war against us." That's what he said about the colonists. You know, brethren, that's what the devil thinks about you when you stand up to him. That's what the devil thinks about you and me if we stand up to him and try to do what's right. He goes on a little further, little while later in that in that proclamation, it says, "And we do accordingly strictly charge and command all our officers, as well as civil as military, and all others are obedient and loyal subjects, to use their utmost endeavors to withstand and suppress such rebellion, and to disclose and make known all treasons and traitorous conspiracies which they shall know to be against us, our crown and dignity." You know what the bottom line is, brethren? The bottom line is the devil doesn't like it when you stand up against him. And the Lord Jesus Christ got taken to that cross and wound up being hung there on that cross to die for your sins and for my sins. And all the time the people stood around him and watched him, they were being asked a simple question: which king will you serve? Who is your king? Who is your king? And brethren, the devil does not like it when one of his subjects stands in open rebellion against his kingdom. But you know what? That's what you and I are called to do. Brethren, you and I are called to be, in essence, what those colonists were against King George back there in the late 1700s. We're called to stand up and openly rebel against the devil and his kingdom in this world. And that's what he thinks about us in the process. And he looks at us like we're the ones rebelling. And in essence, we kind of are. But we're rebelling against a wicked and mad king. One that's going to have to be held in a straitjacket when he gets tossed into the lake of fire. And we're asked to make a choice on which king we will serve. We know the outcome. Our forefathers rejected their citizenship under the old king. And you and I need to reject our citizenship under the devil. Now, if you're saved here this morning, you have already. And your citizenship is in heaven, and that's a grand thing. But brethren, we still need to be in open rebellion against that wicked king. Because there's a whole lot of other people who have not chosen the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's a whole lot of people who are still under the old king, the mad king. You know, the one that they had to put in the straitjacket, the one that tried to kill his own son, bang his head against the wall, who they said was foaming at the mouth and looked absolutely crazed. That's kind of like the devil. And the problem is that while we're living on this earth, it's real easy to be deceived. Because like Adonijah, when he popped himself up and proclaimed himself king, and everybody else in the kingdom that really wasn't paying close attention, it looked like Adonijah was going to be king. And it looked like that's the way they should go. And brother, maybe you're here this morning and maybe you see some of the, maybe you think religion is nuts. Maybe you think the Bible's crazy. Maybe you think they're fanatics. Maybe you really don't want to be a part of that kingdom. And what I'm here to tell you this morning is you're following an Adonijah. When you decide to reject and not follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you're following a false king. And it may look like he's king temporarily. And he may have the crown, and he may be sitting on the king's mule, and he may be riding down the street, and he may have the general next to him, Joab, and he may have a priest next to him, Abiathar. But shortly, David's going to find out what's going on. And David's going to put a stop to it. And Solomon's going to wind up being king. Brethren, I don't want to be in bondage to the old king. I don't want to be in bondage to sin. I don't want to be in bondage to the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ offers us something new. Those colonists back there had a wicked king that they were serving who didn't care for them, who was going to use them for what he could get out of them and then toss them aside, and that's all the devil will do with you. Whether you're saved or lost, you decide to follow the wrong king, all he's going to do is use you for what you're worth and toss you aside. There is no loyalty. There is no love. There is no compassion. There is no integrity. It may look promising. It's not. You ever had somebody promise you something and then break their promise? Happens. Disappointing. The devil does that all the time. You know what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ? He cannot lie. Amen? He cannot lie. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That's what we're asked to do. And if you're lost here this morning, if you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you, put off the old man. Quit serving the wicked king. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, take a new king. If you're saved here this morning, you know how your life's been going. You know how close you're walking to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, rather, I know your soul is safe and secure. Not talking about that right now. I'm just talking about a practical day in, day out, events of life, how you're doing as far as being a Christian. And sometimes we can be saved. Sometimes our citizenship can be in one place and we can be living in another country. You can be a citizen of the United States, brethren, but you may have residence in communist China. And I'm just saying, brethren, you know what? Our citizenship and our residence needs to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. As this world gets crazier and crazier and things get worse and worse, and you look out, and I have no clue where this is. I have no clue where our country is going to go. I have no clue. But I know this. I know my first citizenship is in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And my secondary citizenship, I take very seriously, and I love this country, and I certainly, you know, I want it to be right here in the United States for as long as we have a United States. But my first citizenship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians says, 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'll wrap things up here, and I'd just like to say this to you. Brethren, you're asked which king you'll serve. If you're lost here this morning, in a second we're going to be singing a hymn. We call it a hymn of invitation. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, what I'm asking you to do, in essence, is just like what the colonists did when they were under King George III back in the 1700s. I'm asking you to reject the old king. Come down this aisle. Shake my hand. Just tell me that you want to make Jesus Christ your king. You want to receive him as your Savior. And I'll simply just have somebody go take a Bible, sit down and show you how that can be done. But it has to be your decision to reject the old king. If you're saved here this morning, maybe technically you're a citizen of one kingdom. Maybe your residence has too often been in another land. I just ask that you do some work with the Lord in your heart. Maybe you need to come down here and pray for a little bit. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ wants your citizenship and your residence. He wants your allegiance. Brethren, you and I as Christians ought to be the type of thorn in the side that those colonists were to King George III. We ought to be the type of a thorn in the side to the devil like those colonists were to King George III. It's not good enough for us to sit on the sideline. Brethren, we're called to action. We're called to action. And I hope and pray the devil finds each and every one of us traitorous. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's one type of, one time where I can take being a traitor. So I just ask you this morning, as we all stand, let's turn to number 124. Who's your king? Who's your king? Where's your citizenship? If you're saved, where's your residence? 124. Our forefathers rejected the old king. And look at all the good that came out of it. 124.
King of my life, I crown thee.
All right, folks, you can be dismissed. We'll see you this evening at 6 o'clock. Hold on just a second. Yes, sir. Brother Tom? Okay. Looks like the Hawes has brought in a bunch of food as well, so if you can check that out on your way out, we'll see you tonight. You're dismissed.